the players, the personalities who come from around the world to play professional soccer in the United States.
Go, go, USA! Oh, it's incredible!
In a world where some call it football, football, or soccer, they dare to call it foosball. One thinks New York is blue. The other thinks New York is red. Soccer in America from a German perspective. Let them put some sauerkraut on your hot dog and join them for the Schnitzel Boys USA Hour.
And it's a spinning circle.
Uh-oh, dang it. Sorry, I'm just covered in technical errors tonight. Yeesh. Yeah, I don't know why StreamYard has no... I was just cameraing just fine in the other box, but no camera this box. So while we're talking, I might try to log in through a different browser. Bear with me, folks. Artisanal. How do you describe it? Artisanal.
We're doing it live. We're doing it live.
Doing it live. Well, yeah, we just finished a very heartfelt deep dive into what's going on with the German protesting. And
yeah, that was very interesting. Very good. Very good. And now we have, now we're switching off to the U.S. and there's their own BS happening over here.
There's stuff going on, man.
Yeah. Well,
first and foremost, it's coming back.
MLS season starts on Wednesday, really mostly on Saturday, but Inter Miami is playing. Inter Miami is going to be the Bayern Munich of MLS this season. They may not be the best team, but they're going to get the most attention. And oh, look at that. This is a big moment, ladies and gentlemen. Stefan has revealed his full name. He's no longer the Schnitzel.
Let me change that. Let me change that because I had to change up my thing here. Here we go. I had my full name in the last one in the interview. So I've been exposed. Yeah,
You're not trying to keep your identity a secret.
Yeah, what's anybody gonna do with it? But here I am. I fixed it by logging in via a new browser. My browser has been having stuff. Let me get rid of my dirty background here. How about that? Is that working? Oh. There we go. This is it. This is how it looks like. Technical issue solved. I'm the technician Meister.
3 minutes in. 3 minutes in. We've done it. So
we've done it. Anyway, yeah, MLS is back, baby.
MLS is back. Yeah, it's. Today specifically, it's hard to get excited about it because I was reading a lot about this U.S. Open Cup situation that you also are referencing in this episode title.
Right.
Is the U.S. Open Cup back? What is happening?
Well, the latest news, I believe, is that an agreement has been struck. Oh, but the specifics aren't
that
there.
That's like very recent,
yeah,
right?
Like an hour ago. It's an hour ago.
Okay, yeah.
And let me read the snippets of the article here. Mm. It says the U.S. Open Cup is like good to go, pretty much set to go ahead. However, the specifics are uncertain. It's looking like, because the last pitch was that only 8 MLS clubs would be involved. Did you read that?
I read that. I mean, I think there was a lot going on the last couple of days, and it seemed like there was also some people were thinking it was just going to get canceled entirely. There were some pretty apocalyptic takes out there of people saying that this could really just bring this whole tournament to its knees. But okay, tell me what the latest is.
Well, source. So this is on ESPN FC with Jeff Carlisle,
Who's been really on top of this? Yeah.
Source, 2024 U.S. Open Cup gets go-ahead under new proposed format. So the plans have been approved by a subcommittee of U.S. Soccer Board of Directors, though the tournament likely won't look like recent addition, a source close to USSF told ESPN. The source indicated that complete details are still being ironed out, but the decision to have a tournament in 2024, thumbs up, but it'll be like a hybrid type of tournament with not every MLS team participating. The precise level of team participation still to be determined. And then I'm going to cut forward to Don Garber's comments. In an interview with ESPN late last week, MLS Commissioner Don Garber said about the Open Cup, everybody in the soccer business needs to rethink how competitions have been organized to ensure that we can continue to evolve and manage what is the single biggest issue for all professional soccer. And that's the management of our schedule. Well, gee whiz, Don. The only reason there's a scheduling snafu is because you keep adding games with other competitions, right?
Well, the Leagues Cup, really.
Yeah, but and then the Leagues Cup. Yeah, but there's others on the floor, like this preseason tour, like the sending Inter Miami off to China. They're all about that. That will do.
Yeah, who's
but sending him to Houston? They're like, we don't want to send him to Houston.
Whose idea was that exactly?
Oh, you know whose idea that was.
It was Don's idea. I don't well, think
it was,
so.
It was everybody who wants to make money. It's Inter Miami. Yeah. It's Messi. Because Messi, he went to Japan because of Iniesta. And all their tour stops were business buds, right? So
yeah, I don't think this is Don. This was all Don Garber's idea, right? There's all kinds of other. There's all kinds of other people involved. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm doing this thing here. So... And the big talk was like Don Garber's like, oh, we have too much congestion of the schedule. We can't play in the U.S. Open Cup. Because he thought U.S. Open Cup was optional.
Well, but it's – okay. Well, you go first.
And like you said, Leagues Cup did that pretty much. But what is the U.S. Open Cup? It's six games if you win it, one if you lose it. You know what I mean? It's not that many games. And the schedule congestion is an invention by the league. They made that happen to themselves. So, you know, what we're at is I think they've had to back and forth with each other, compromise, and the specifics are going to be announced, but it's looking like only a select few clubs are going to play. The other thing that's been tossed around is that MLS will have these expanded rosters where they have like a cup roster, as standby players kind of, to my understanding, something like that. Again, maybe that's not happening, you know, so we don't know the specifics, but seemingly A, it's going to go ahead, and B, it will not be like the past competitions. That's what we
Okay, so we know it's happening because there were some rumors out there that it was just going to get canceled entirely this year.
Why would that be though? Can I ask you, MLS not competing, I understand, but what about all that? What about NYSA and USL and what about those boys?
I'm not sure how that all shook out. I mean, I think this seems like there is some power struggle, maybe. I don't know what to call it between U.S. soccer and MLS, obviously. I think it's also not, you know, there's the schedule congestion, but really MLS doesn't like the product. They don't think this is a high-end, you know, and the Leagues Cup is basically completely under their control. It's you know, broadcast on Apple, whatever. And in the U.S. Open Cup has always been a little janky, and that makes up its charm to me. I mean, we've in the case of NYCFC, the U.S. Open Cup games have been all over the place at Rutgers or at some stadium in the Bronx. Recently was at Belsen, you know, this turf stadium on top of a garage in Queens. And it was always also this roster discussion was always, they never played. I guess it's actually not true. Last season, they played a pretty strong starting squad. But usually in the past, it's been a B team. Keaton Parks famously got his first NYCFC start against North Carolina FC and did very well. And that was kind of the beginning of his rise in the team to an everyday starter. And so.
Well, there you go. The cup, traditionally in the soccer world, is a great way for a youngster or a new signing to get some minutes to test themselves for the regular first team.
They do this everywhere, right? Like they do this in England, the League Cup and the FA Cup. They often play the bench warmers get a run out. So that's all. It seems like MLS and also doesn't like it. There's also what I haven't thought about, and what I just what I saw insinuated on Hudson River Blue, the NYCFC sort of inheritor of the SB Nation side, Michael Batista, I think is his name. He had a lot of he did a lot of reporting on this behind the scenes, and he had this take that MLS doesn't like doesn't want to give a platform to the USL teams that are getting better and are perhaps
you mean like Pittsburgh beating them last year and things like that?
Yeah, or like Sacramento their run down the, like that's another agenda, that they don't want to sort of elevate the lower league teams, and the gap may be closing between those, which I think that's kind of insane. If that's the,
it's nonsense.
If that's an agenda, then that needs to be, then we need to really,
competition is a good thing.
Then we really need to oppose it, because that's exactly what this cup needs to be. It needs to be a platform for these. And this is always, you know, what I say when the topic of promotion and relegation comes up, and the onus is not on MLS. The onus is on the lower leagues to be compelling and to prove that there is, you know, a larger infrastructure where people will watch soccer that's not like, you know, top level. So if that's the hidden agenda, to shut down the competition, and that's terrible. That really needs to be opposed dramatically, because in the past I have some I had some compassion for this idea of, like, you know, that people are defending the US Open Cup in theory, but then nobody goes, like, nobody watches it, nobody goes to the games. So it's like, we're, you know, all the people, that's what I said last week, it's like all the people who are so high on the US Open Cup, they should make sure to go to a game, you know, this year, and tune in to really show support, which I,
you know, you do. Some clubs are better than others. Like Seattle, I think traditionally always did a really good job with that. But yeah, but with the US Open Cup, is there national discourse? Maybe not. But it's just if your club's made the semis, then you turn on. Then the A team plays and the stadium gets all, you know.
I mean, I think it's
the semis.
I'm a fan. I think it's awesome. I think it is cool that these teams play in weird. I think it is. It gives you a real slice of life, a real snapshot of where the game is at in this country.
Yeah.
Outside of, you know, this sort of pyramid scheme fantasy that MLS wants to portray.
U.S. And Open Cup.
For the same reasons that Don Garber doesn't like it, I do like it. And
yeah, he's not a soccer fan. He hates the sport. But we're soccer fans. We love the sport, which is why we're on opposite ends.
He doesn't hate the sport. He does not hate the sport. That is, I will stand up for Don Garber. What do you think? I mean, I think, well, anyway, you know, I hold space for a lot of different opinions like that, because it's like, I mean, I also at the same time I do appreciate what he's saying. He is trying to make the league a global player, and in his mind, you know, then playing a first round game on top of a parking garage on turf against North Carolina is not the move. So I can see that, but then
that's unfair though, because of all the things MLS does, there's so many examples of that. You're not allowed to point the U.S. Open Cup. What a scapegoat! You know what I mean? The U.S. Open Cup didn't send Seattle Sounders to lose to a club in Morocco and to come back right away for the FIFA Club World Cup. U.S. Open Cup had nothing to do with that. You know, the U.S. Open Cup has nothing to do with Inter Miami losing 6-0 to El Nasser.
Oh.
The Seattle Sounders, the first MLS team to go to the FIFA Club World Cup.
But that's,
and MLS
that's,
clubs don't win outside of the U.S., so they lost miserably to some Moroccan club, and they came right back.
I agree with you. The reality is that MLS is is still a ways behind. A lot
the U.S. Open Cup didn't make MLS clubs never win in Mexico for 100 years. You know, like the first time they won a game was like 5 years ago or something. You know, the U.S. Open Cup had nothing to do with any of that. So you're not allowed to blame the U.S. Open Cup for, quote, unquote, not being the product you want it to be. I think, I don't know, maybe you're on my side. I think the U.S. Open Cup should have been untouched. I agree with you. It's no one's going to it. And if genuinely MLS clubs lose money on it, I don't know the finances of it, but if it genuinely loses a lot of money, then sure, that's also something to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's also, you know, that's kind of, it's the price you pay. You kind of, you support the game. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. How much could it be? Like,
right.
How much money are they?
Isn't it just an extra, it should make money, right? It's an extra stadium and hot dogs and parking, right? I don't know.
Listen, speaking from an NYCFC perspective, there's like, I mean, I don't know. They were like,
how many hot dogs were sold? How do you think?
200 people there. I do remember actually there was one at Belson. There's like one guy, you know, and there was a huge line. He could have sold a lot more hot dogs if he had them.
Well, there you go. It's a missed opportunity. We need to be there with a schnitzel cart. Next time you're at the Vessel Stadium, I'm going to fly back to New York. We're going to be there with the Schnitzel Boys cart, schnitzel cart all night.
People would come just for that. We wouldn't need to put a game on. That alone.
Oh, yeah. Screw the game.
That would outdraw the U.S. Open Cup easily.
We're the only podcast with a live food truck that could follow around to see. So this new hybrid version.
Decent food truck in Manhattan, I think on a weekday outdraws the U.S. Open Cup.
I would agree with that.
Home game.
That's unfair too. But what I will say is this new hybrid version of the fakey fake with the eight teams. I think it better be the eight best teams. I don't like it. Thumbs down. I want my U.S. Open Cup the way I've always wanted.
Sounds like this is just a statement put out to quell the outrage. I think it seems like this. Nothing has been decided. It's just sort of like.
It seems they're about to put out the worst.
Don't hate us.
They're about to put out the worst of both worlds. Like eight MLS clubs. I don't know. We'll see. But well, the U.S. But Open Cup really shouldn't be challenged. And if I had to put my tinfoil hat on, I think it's just a ridiculous ploy on MLS to control 100% of Lionel Messi's image right now. I think the fact that they have three games on YouTube really pisses them off. Because it deflates the value of someone they're spending a lot of money on, and I think it really just boils down to that.
I bet that's true. I bet that's the Messi effect is real, and there's a bunch of positives, and there's also some nonsense happening. And
what game was more fun last year? What's that? The border club, the Juarez versus Atlas game in Austin, where 30 people showed up for the Leagues Cup, or the Houston versus Inter Miami U.S. Open Cup final in Houston with the packed house. Which of those two was the better product, do you think?
I think the Leagues Cup also was plenty fun.
Yeah, but there were certain games where it was empty. Like, not every game was a hit on the Leagues Cup.
Well, okay, but like, if you're going to make that point, the U.S. Open Cup does not compete. Like, there's tons of games that nobody.
Overall, sure, but there are some U.S. Open Cup games that are bigger, funner events than Leagues Cup game, which is why I think it's unfair to point at the Leagues Cup, not the Leagues Cup, the U.S. Open Cup. And I think it's as simple as MLS; they don't control it, so they just don't want to do it. They only want to do what they.
I think that's true.
But it causes a bigger problem.
But both things can be true, right? We can be like, definitely if MLS, they need to be part of it. They can't just opt out of it. That's crazy. But at the same time, there is also, the U.S. Open Cup has more potential and is being treated poorly by U.S. soccer. Over the last few years, it's not marketed to its own. And people are like, oh, it's like the FA Cup. You know, the FA Cup, the English, those are tournaments that people show up for in large numbers.
Right.
And so the U.S. Open Cup could use a shot in the arm.
Oh, yeah. The U.S. Open Cup is managed by U.S. Soccer. And the U.S. Soccer is this biggest shit show of shit shows. Every 3 months, a new bonkers-ass article. The latest thing is they're going to start paying the president fine or something, which is fine, I guess. But like, you spend all your money on lawsuits and now you're increasing your staff salary. It's like, spend it back on the game, man. Like, the U.S. Open Cup needs help. Like, it's like we need spend it on the game. You need sponsors. You get a marketing. You're filming these games with an AI camera and putting them on YouTube. We can do that. The Schnitzel Boys could do some. You know what I mean?
And we would have some schnitzel.
Yeah, we'd be better at it, man. We'd be better at commentating and all. So, yeah, U.S. Open Cup, thumbs, like, yeah. Should it be better? Sure. But MLS is doing this thing where it's like, if it ain't a, you know, it's why MLS struggles historically in CONCACAF, because MLS is like, that's not us, so we don't care. And then MLS finally gets to a FIFA tournament, and they're like, who cares? MLS really just cares about the MLS Cup title. Everything else is a courtesy at best. Sorry, what were you going to say?
You think Seattle didn't care about that tournament?
I think they did, but I think MLS, the rules and regulations set them up to succeed. For whatever reason, like Inter Miami losing 6-0 in Saudi Arabia didn't surprise me one bit.
I mean, but that
we just don't travel well.
It's like, it's preseason. It doesn't even that. Those games, it's like people just need to stop talking about it. It's like, it's just even irrelevant.
I've been watching MLS for years. The minute teams leave the cup, leave the league or the country, they just forgot how to play soccer all of a sudden. I don't know what's going on. I can't think of any other that happens.
That happens to the national team, too.
That's another problem. But anyway. So how do you – I'm thinking thumbs down on this new U.S. Open Cup, right?
Well, I was going to say – but again, it's a great opportunity for – the other leagues and the other teams to take center stage and take it over. If it's an opportunity for them to explore. I mean, I would love it. And if hopefully they still keep the CONCACAF spot, and hopefully a USL team wins it, and then the Pittsburgh Riverhounds will play Tigres.
I would love that. And then they win the CONCACAF Champions League. They have to go play Real Madrid in Japan. I'm all
it's
about
an opportunity.
It.
It's an opportunity for these other leagues to showcase what they have. Danny Young was asking about Citi Field or Yankee Stadium. I think they're eligible. I think they'd be eligible, but I don't think the economics work out unless it was like a later round. I mean, I think I've gone. Yeah, there were those two memorable losses that we had in the early days. The Cosmos, we lost the first round U.S. Open match twice in a row, and once was in Rutgers, and the other one was somewhere in the Bronx.
That's all nonsense. You know what I would do? You grab a couple bleachers and some chalk, and you just do a flash mob at Prospect Park. You bring your iPhones to the AI camera. You paint out a little soccer field. You play in Prospect Park. No permits necessary. You just go to the park. You paint a soccer field, and you're just like, all right, let's go. That's how I would do it, because I'm a wild cowboy. That is
clearly not Don Garber's vision for the U.S.
No, that's my vision as a wild cowboy.
Anyway. Yeah, to be continued. We're gonna have to pay attention.
The greatest off-season soap opera, right? It was this U.S. Soccer versus MLS. We got a little soap opera situation going on, and we are watching with much interest.
Messi and his pals like traveling all over the world, and now starting the season tired and injured.
And he has to apologize to the country of China.
Has to yeah.
The whole country. He went out. Did you see this video? He looked like he was in a basement. He looked like he was kidnapped in the basement. He's like, sorry, China. I had an abductor injury. I shared it on my TikTok. I've been TikToking a lot every day.
I mean, this is really, well, it'll be interesting to see how this goes. I mean, he's not going to play every game. Luis Suarez is not going to play every game.
I just hope he can't play on LA Galaxy opening weekend, the 25th, because those tickets were way too expensive. It was ridiculous. And I love it, because this whole thing is not like, just like with China.
This is what we really can't. The more people pay for these tickets, the more we're rooting for Messi to not show up
because we're rooting against bad soccer fans, right? We're rooting against the plastics. Inter Miami is a team. Messi will come and go. And right now MLS is like, hi, we're the Lionel Messi TV show. It's like, we're the Messi show, which is ridiculous. And it's like, I hope he can't play all season. Because it's soccer. Team, players, league. Leo Messi was amazing. I love him. He's a great player. I'm not saying he's not. But name any other league where it'd be like the Lionel Messi show. It's nonsense. MLS, have a little respect for yourself. Have a little respect. Come on now. I hope
to be seen. Yeah.
Next topic. Are you ready to move on? Yeah.
Yes.
MLS.
For Messi, we will never move on. We'll talk about
forever. That. And US Open Cup forever, for next week. Yeah. We'll check in again. But yeah. The MLS, another bit of news, which we've seen before, is the MLS referees cannot come.
Oh, right.
The MLS is kicking off this weekend, but our old pals, Ted Uncle and some other ones.
I used to referee ISO, so I got a call and I said I would help out, but only if I don't have to wear shorts. And they said, no, you gotta wear the shorts. And so
yeah, you always ref in a full tuxedo.
Just not a shorts guy.
You're the fancy man, ref.
No. I would wear sweatpants. Yes, the bow tie, obviously.
Right.
That's my thing. But like I wear a black leotard. That's fine. But I need full coverage.
You're a great ref. The problem is players keep tripping on your coattails. And it's like the ref can't interrupt the game though. You have flowing coattails. I would love it if
the referee is the conductor of the game. It should be that out there.
I would love it if NYCFC games are reffed by their fans.
By me.
Yeah. And it's like, I guarantee, although I'm a huge, you have like an NYCFC bucket hat on. Like, although I identify
do I have to take this off?
I will promise there's no conflict of interest. Even though
call it like I see it.
I see it. Up goal, long goal. I know it missed the goal, but in. So that's happening. This happened once before, and I hate to be a negative Nelly.
It only lasted 2 weeks.
Yeah, it only lasted 2 weeks. And I hate to be a negative Nelly, but the replacement refs were as good, if not better, than the refs we had. So I love the fact they're getting their contract. I think it's over flights or whatever. It's a ridiculous contract. Apparently, our referees fly coach. They're just asking to fly business, you know. Where the teams fly charter, they fly coach. And you know how big the United States is. Like, it's
but the teams
crazy.
Don't. The teams fly charter every time? I don't think so.
They fly charter a handful of times. Now, I don't know specific. I know the teams fly charter a lot.
You can't just take the refs on their plane.
That's what I suggested on Reddit, and people ripped me apart. And one guy is like, if this is a serious suggestion, then no, obviously. And I'm like, to me, it seems like basic problem solving, right?
Just fucking
pick him up. Yeah, I don't know.
Just put him in the back section. So
put a curtain up. Be like, Matt Miazga. No Matt Miazga past this curtain. Yeah. No Matt Miazga past this curtain. Okay, this is the private ref. This man does not exist. I do understand it looks bad if one team flies a ref with them, yeah, you know, and they're on the plane for 3 hours together.
For sure.
Yeah, I get it. But to me, that's problem solving. I don't know. But the refs are fighting for the contract. Good for them.
What do they want? They want to have a plane chartered for them? That can't be.
No, they just want business. They just want upgrades.
They want to fly business.
Which I think should be standard, right? Am I wrong?
I mean, to think this.
But
I suppose, yeah.
They're asking for stuff. It all seems, you know, relatively reasonable.
Well, they had an agreement that was put to a vote, right? And then the refs rejected this agreement by 96% or like overwhelmingly. Oh,
really? And yeah, maybe that was the contention. What was the your CBA
that's what
ref?
It was. And then the league also offered a no strike, no lockout agreement. The upshot being the refs are pissed. They feel like they deserve significantly more than what they're getting.
Right.
And they're willing to strike. And yeah, to your point, it's like we won't notice.
I'm reading right here on CBSSports.com. They have 66 replacement refs. They have 66 replacement refs ready to go.
Now the league has decided to lock them out so that they can make alternate arrangements while they're. And I was joking, of course. I was not considered as a substitute referee.
And I was also joking about the full tuxedo thing. Yeah, 95.8% voting not to ratify the agreement between Pro and PRSA. Pro is the professional referee organization, and PRSA is the.
And Mark Geiger is the bad guy in this. He's now management, right?
Oh, really? He hopped over on the.
He is now the guy in charge, and so he's now on the other side of. Yeah, I mean, we'll see how this goes, but yeah, hopefully the replacement refs will be decent. And
this happened in the NFL once. And when the replacement refs showed up for week one, they did some of the worst calls in NFL history. The fans were pissed and the refs got their agreement. So when MLS did that a couple years later, that did not happen. In fact, I thought Alan Kelly, who was management at the time, that's the first time he ref in MLS. He's the best ref MLS ever had, at least at that time. He's this old veteran Irish ref who was a FIFA ref. Mm-hmm. I was just like, wow, these new refs are great. It's like, oh, Stefan, these are the replacement refs. They're going to leave in 2 weeks, and then your old buddies, what are they? I'm blanking.
Ted Uncle
and Ricardo Valenzuela, was that one? And
Are they bringing Baldomir Toledo back for that replacement? No, he's coming back out of retirement?
So we'll see. Maybe they've gotten better. Maybe the new replacement refs will be worse. Who knows? We'll see, but that's happening. But I imagine it'll be a repeat like last time. Give them a couple weeks to get some sort of agreement done. Their old bud Ted Uncle is back. Now, speaking of Uncle, moving on to our next topic. Christina Uncle will no longer be part of the MLS broadcast team, as the MLS broadcast lineup has been announced. It's a little bit different. They got rid of some old faces like
Joe Tolleson is back.
But they got rid of Christina Uncle as a rules analyst for some reason.
Well, but she's doing something else, right? Isn't she like the commissioner or one of the she's in charge of this new league.
Are you asking me or are you telling me? Because if you ask me, I have no answer.
I don't have this fully ready for prime time, but I think it's not because they didn't like her. I think she's otherwise engaged, right? She's working for the new league.
Oh, the new league that's taken over the NWSL.
We have two. Well, we now have two professional Division One women's pro soccer leagues in this country. There's NWSL, and now there's another one. And
USL League One.
USL League One, yeah.
Something like that.
And
that's the last thing they need.
And Christina, it's the last thing they need. What is this?
The United States has a long history of when one league starts, some other guys, Burger King does to McDonald's, they start a new league. And it never thrives. They just both die or have to merge or something.
It screws everybody up. Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, but that's what she's doing, right, Christina Uncle?
Couldn't find anything here.
She's in charge, or she's one of the owners, or she owns a team, or is a commissioner. I don't know. She has a function.
Well, okay. Anyway, she's off doing her thing. I couldn't find much, honestly. Just that she's with a lot. Anyway. But we got Joe Tolleson. We got
Nate
Butaki. I looked at some of the names. I was like, these are some of the names that they missed out on last year, and they're back. So they'd be happy. Now, Grant, I didn't see Tony Meola anywhere. And Tony Meola has like a serious show and stuff. So I think he's also busy with stuff. And Tony Meola didn't call too many games last year. I don't remember him a lot.
I like Tony Meola. But yeah, I don't. He wasn't around that much.
But so we got some new faces in, some old, like Adrian Healy's gone. And that makes me sad. I like Adrian Healy. And he was cut for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe he quit. I don't know. But the new voices they brought in make me happy. Most of these guys were the guys I thought they missed out on last year. There were three in particular. Tolleson, Butaki, and one of the other ones. I forgot who it was. But anyway, a new lineup is offered. The guy over at World Soccer Talk, who has a real vendetta against MLS and Apple TV for some reason, he's mentioning that they're doing severe budget cuts. However, other sources are saying MLS had 2 million subscribers. That's a lot. It's twice as many as I assume they'd have. Like they were just under a million. Then when Messi signed, they guess more than doubled their subscribers. It's a lot.
2 million. 2 million's a lot.
Yeah. They were under a million before Messi, and we thought those were big numbers. And then apparently Messi more than doubled their subscriber base, which explains why it's the Messi TV show, right? Because they're catering to 60% of the subscribers that way. But yeah, so I signed up for it again this year. It starts on Wednesday.
The better strategy would probably be to emphasize other people, because Messi's not going to be around forever, and you want to keep these people subscribed. But anyway, I'm just some guy talking.
You're a fan talking. ML Force Bay on the update, apparently, according to the Red Bulls broadcast, that is quote unquote how you say Forsberg in Swedish properly. So people are defending that pronunciation. But I did it, but I Googled it and I still disagree. So what we're going to do is I'm going to get a Swedish guy, any guy you can find on Reddit, to come on the podcast next week, and he's going to teach us how to say ML Forsberg for you. Yeah, according to my Googling, the G becomes a J sound or a Y sound. So let's say it's a Y, and the Y
so
merges
not
with the
only,
R.
Not only were you dragging the poor preseason reporter who's working for a handshake and a ham sandwich and a drink ticket, now it turns out you perhaps may have been wrong and he may have been correct about this.
Perhaps. I still think it's not bay. If anything, it would be bear. Force bear.
Still sticking.
Okay. I'm going to find that guy, bring him on, and we're going to debate.
Let's just drop
nice
it.
Debate.
Why not just drop it?
Okay. Well, on that news, the New York Red Bulls has promised us the massive reinforcements. They didn't get one, Bjorn.
You got somebody.
They
no,
got
there was...
two unproven, obscure Scandinavian youth internationals, of which we've had in spades.
You got somebody.
Yeah, Gerberg or whatever. Apparently his name is the name of like a famous character from a show, because everyone's doing all these jokes I don't get. His name is the Norwegian youth international named Greenberg. It's not Greenberg, but Dennis Gwenjar. And I do not want to pretend like I know how to pronounce Norwegian, because I've already had this issue. Yeah. It could be Gwen Ye, as far as I know now. Who knows?
You'll find out at some point. You just got to tune into the Coachella preseason broadcast, and they'll tell you.
So Gwen J, or whatever his name is, a young Norwegian guy to add to our ranks. So there we go. We got Emil Forsberg is going to crush it, and two unproven youth Scandinavians. Now, one of our biggest supporters groups called the Viking Army, and they must be extra happy because we just got ourselves a couple more Vikings this season. And there you go. We ended our preseason in a loss, a 2-0 loss to LA Galaxy. And we start.
Doesn't matter. Tom Bogard thinks you're better than us.
Oh, yeah? Is that what he said?
We just went through the annual charade that is MLS pundits predicting. So nobody except Joe Lowry. Joe Lowry has NYCFC as seventh in the East. Everybody else ninth or worse. Which I really.
Wait a minute. What do you mean? What do you mean? Oh, you mean on the East? Just
in the East. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
The East. NYCFC. Every pundit, and there's like 12 of them. Except one is ninth or worse, and a lot of people double digits, 10th, 11th. I really don't think that's true. I mean, hope springs eternal, but I think we were a playoff team the second half of the year after reinforcements showed up. We haven't lost anyone. We have signed a bunch of quality. Jovan, our new Wonder Kid striker, finally became. That's been promised to us for weeks now. It has become official today. He's now officially he's officially ours, at least for a couple of weeks. I mean, he really seems like he wants to go to Europe the first chance he gets. But he's ours for now. And
who is this? Jovan? Who's this?
Jovan. Listen, here we
he's
go.
One of the Serbians you signed?
Yeah, he's one of the Serbians. He's 18. He's 18, and he is highly, highly talented. And there was some talk that he would go straight to City or go to. But he's coming to us, and I mean,
for 4 months, you're saying,
for
the summertime.
It's clear. Oopsie, it's clear that he this is not his final fantasy, but right now he's ours, and he has said that he's already said that get ready, he's going to score too much goals, and so I'm ready for him to score too much goals.
Jovan score goal.
So I think our team has improved, and I think ninth place is like the worst case scenario. I think we're for sure a playoff team. I don't know.
Very confused, because last year, maybe remind me if I'm wrong, the East was stronger than the West overall. I mean, the East ended up winning.
Yeah.
Columbus Crew won
the
league.
I think the East is significantly stronger than the West. I think that's true this year. The East is hard. And I don't think we want to even – I think our predictions of places was off enough that we – I don't know if we want to
It wasn't again, too bad. I would put our predictions up against any experts.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We probably had better numbers.
The general problem with predicting MLS is that you always think, you know, and in most leagues it's true, but that it's this season is going to be a lot like last season. But that is not necessarily the case. There's a lot of big turnarounds, but the East is hard to call because there are a lot of good teams and there are a lot of improved teams, and so
you know what the big variable of this all is, which leads to another topic.
The Messi effect.
Yes, it is the Messi effect. But remember how I talk about how I play Football Manager, right? Mm-hmm. The game where you buy and sell players. And the biggest problem with Football Manager is the MLS rules are so convoluted that in the offseason, you sign up a storm. You sign up this guy and that guy and boop, boop, blah, blah, blah. And then a day before the league starts, you have to do roster compliance and submit your roster.
Oh, apparently that's a big problem for Miami, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, sell half of your players before the season starts. You just get stuck. And we're seeing that happen in real life because that's what Inter Miami did this year. However, the one wrinkle, because as I'm sure you've read via The Athletic, I forgot who, maybe it was also Tommy Scoops, pretty much via sources, Inter Miami is quote unquote screwed, I think was the word that he used, because they have all these players, which they signed up. Sorry, and I knew that was an issue already. Plus, lest we forget, right before Messi came, they were suspended for financial irregularities.
Right. Well,
they're supposed to be suspended.
They had 40 P's.
Because of 40 TPs. However, the player rules have not been announced yet. So we don't know what rules they're breaking yet, because the league haven't announced the 2024 roster rules and regulations yet. Did you know that?
Wait, what? No, I didn't know that. But aren't they, isn't there like a CBA? Isn't that like pretty
I think the CBA was expired. Or no, maybe they still have the old rules, but the new rules have not been announced. And a high-level executive recently announced a non-statement over the weekend saying, hey, we're still talking about advanced strategic ideas, you know, a lot of corporate talk. Pretty much he was saying we're still figuring out our new player rules. Because technically that means if these new ones pass, then Inter Miami isn't breaking any rules. It might bend a little
bit. Oh, so they may adjust to, all right, well, it wouldn't be the first time.
No, it wouldn't be the first time. Also, MLS is trying to, as promised, to invest more in players, especially leading up to the World Cup. So that's also a thing. But so that's also an interesting thing. Inter Miami, quote unquote, are not facing roster regulation properly. But the reality is roster regulation hasn't been confirmed and announced yet. So we don't exactly know what they're breaking. They did sell Gregory to Brazil. Rumor has it the new Argentinian youngster they signed, that's been canceled, Redondo.
Oh, okay.
I believe he has to stay in Argentina.
That's pretty big news.
Yeah, I think originally it was they announced that they agreed to $8 million. However, MLS rules you can't said they can't spend more than $5 million because that's how much they spent on some other guy or something. Some bonkers MLS rule that I don't agree with.
What?
Yeah, some bonkers nonsense. But and then so they went to the club, be like, sorry, per MLS regulations, we have to take $3 million back.
We spend $8.5 million on Yoan, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have a freaking forensic accountant to explain this to me. But they agreed on $8 million, but because someone else was $5 million, they couldn't spend more than $5 million on him or something.
This is a weird, yeah, okay.
Maybe that's part of the suspension that they had. All I know is that the Redondo deal, let me just double check, I believe was canceled. And, you know, but I don't know about you, but I'm looking at all these players coming in. I'm like, how are they, an MLS club that are suspended, how are they affording all this? Right? I think they have to face the music. And rumor on the street is they have to sell one more player. That includes Robert Taylor, DeAndre Yedlin. And I'm sitting here up at the Rebels. I'm like, I'll take Robert Taylor. I'll take DeAndre Yedlin.
I read this too in the Athletic that these all but I think also everybody knows they're in trouble, so they also nobody wants to overpay. They're not going to offer a lot.
Smart. I would love it because especially New York Red Bulls. I don't know about you. I'd take Robert Taylor in a heartbeat. If they want to get him on a budget, sure. But same with DeAndre Yedlin. I'd take DeAndre Yedlin.
He wasn't that great when he didn't have Messi on his team. So I don't know.
He's Finnish. We have a Viking army. I mean,
he's finished. He's only 28.
He's from Finland, my friend.
This is
a joke.
It's a clip that's going around where somebody's calling into a Scottish.
Oh, I heard that. I saw that.
A Scottish and
right
and promoting his goalie for
the Scottish
national team, and the host says, "Well, he's Finnish," and he's like, "What? No, he's not finished. He's only 28."
Well, with the name of Robert Taylor, you could fool anybody.
Well, the Taylor could play for the Scottish team. Nobody would ask any questions.
They'd be perfectly fine with it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would take any of those guys. I think there are two other guys listed. So we'll see. I think Inter Miami have by after tomorrow. So tomorrow, they have to shed one new player, right? I mean, I imagine roster submissions are due tomorrow. I mean, the league starts on Wednesday.
they're starting on Wednesday. Everybody else is on.
Right?
So we'll see what lines up.
How late are they left to hand in their assignments?
We'll know by Wednesday who's on their team. That's funny. All right. Well,
let me just double check this Redondo
Messi situation.
I don't know. Expect to sign Redondo. Oh, here's from the 19th. Maybe I'm wrong. This is from the 19th. Inter Miami continues. Hold on. I'm getting wall blocked here. Give me a second. How do I do this?
I was going to say that if I was ready to announce, like, if NYCFC finishes worse than ninth, I will do something. I'll wear.
Ooh, what?
I'll wear a Red Bull outfit to, I don't know. I'll get.
NYCFC. I'm going to say, you're going to wear a Red Bull outfit to the next NYCFC town hall meeting, when you meet David Lee at the bar or whatever.
If we finish worse than ninth, yes.
Okay, you heard it here first. If NYCFC finishes below ninth, Bjorn will wear New York Red Bulls head to toe gear to an NYCFC town hall full kit.
No shorts.
There'll be a tuxedo. I know there'll be a tuxedo involved. okay, here you first. What do I have to do now if the Red Bulls finish below ninth?
You don't have to do anything. That's expected.
Good. Now it's not expected. With Emil Forsberg, with Forsberg coming in?
No, he might be good, actually. I think he's going to be very good. But I think... Well, I mean, if I'm so wrong, then I think we're a playoff team, no question, this year. I don't know. I mean, yeah, Forsberg's going to be good. I'm not saying we're going to finish. I'm not going to say I'll do that if we finish behind the Red Bull. I mean, I think you could finish ahead of us, but I think we're going to be in there.
Gregory, 29, joining in Miami. They got rid of Gregory. Tata Martino on Monday, he said, we lose one of our captains, we lose experience. The league roster rules are complicated, and sometimes we have to part ways with players we'd rather not have lost.
That's a big loss for them.
Yeah, we had to create salary space, but he is one of the players who have the greatest market value, not only in Brazil, but in MLS. They sold in Brazil for a good amount of money. But I think the Redondo deal is still on. I'm trying to think here. Where's the okay. Gregorio is expected to be replaced on the roster by Redondo. Inter Miami have been in talks. Inter Miami will pay Argentinos Juniors a fee in the $5 million range with performance bonuses. Redondo is the son of former Real Madrid and AC Milan Miller, Fernando Redondo. Ah, oh, I didn't know that. I remember the old Redondo. He was great. Yeah, so I guess Redondo is still coming in, but they had to force sell Gregore. And if I didn't know any better, I guess that's the only guy they'd force sell. I don't know. According to the thing I read, it seemed like they had to sell one other, maybe even two other players, but they've only sold the one. So
that is a big loss for them, though. He was an important player for them. Yeah. Well,
how do you think Inter Miami is going to go this year?
I definitely don't think. I think the odds are in your favor. I'm not a betting person, but I think if you take anybody but Miami, I think it's probably a pretty good bet, because the odds are by Las Vegas odds, according to those, Inter Miami is going to dominate the league.
Right.
I don't see that happening. I don't think those guys are not going to play every game. And
you need 11 players to win the sport of soccer. Miami is top heavy.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch. I mean, they definitely surprised me. I think it was, the whole thing is fascinating, and I think it was. I will watch them. I watched them a lot last season after Messi showed up, and I'm going to continue. I think it is interesting, but it's hard to call. I don't know. I don't think they're for sure going to win the league or support a shield, or I don't think that's a given at all.
No, I agree. I mean,
I do think last year when Messi showed up, I said they weren't going to make the playoffs, and they didn't. I'm not going to say that this year. I think they will make the playoffs. But
they're definitely a team under the microscope. I mean, every game is going to be analyzed, and there's going to be a lot of scrutiny. But I do believe they're going to do well, at least make the playoffs, I think, unless they implode. But I don't think they will. Even though their players are old, their players are world-class, they know each other, they love each other. So I don't think there's any implosion going on. But the Robert Taylors and the Drake Callenders, and so they had a messy boost, like they played their best. But that faded. That faded. And I think, you know, they're sort of used to Messi now.
Well, they were.
And they're back to the level they were.
I mean, they had a lot of games. They played a lot of games. But I guess and something had to give. And but I guess that's going to be the case again today, this year, where they're running. You know, they've already played a lot of games, so we'll see.
They're exhausted before opening. I love it. Total disaster. Yeah. Follow up question: how will Toronto FC do this year?
Oh, very bad. Continue to be very bad.
What's happened? I mean, I know they got a new coach, and what's his face, the Canadian coach.
I don't think they really have changed their roster very much, unless
Bernardeschi's still there, and so is Insigne, right? Or am I wrong?
Bernardeschi and Insigne are both taking up all the money. Their defense is still a dumpster fire. I don't think. I think John Herdman is a good coach.
John Herdman was his name, yeah.
But
he's never proven it on the club level, really.
I'm not saying they're going to finish last. I mean, it's actually hard to pick a bad team in the East. I mean, like everybody seems appropriate. I mean, like Montreal, maybe.
How are Atlanta United going to do under Gonzalo Pineda? I mean, the pressure's on him. I do predict a coaching change, I think, at some point this year for Atlanta United.
Thiago Almada is still there. That was like, we've been listening for a year, ever since the World Cup. We've been listening to like how much he's going to fetch and where's he going to. It's like, don't believe the hype. I don't know.
Bochum still hasn't come in yet. They're still waiting.
Still shaking the couch to see if the $20 million will fall out.
They're waiting for the TV money to switch from game base to just an 18th share of the league. When that happens, then they'll go buy Chug all day.
Cool. Oh my god! Yeah, there's no telling who they might buy. All right, it's late. Should we call it?
Yeah, this was fun. Next week we will review the first week of MLS games. Oh, real quick before you go, let's predict who are you playing this week? Rebels are at Nashville.
We're at Charlotte. At Charlotte, we could start with a win. Maybe be nice.
I predict
We're gonna find out about Nick Cushing. I'm middling. I'm not anti Cushing, but he has a good squad. So last season, he got a little bit of a pass for me anyway, because the roster was really depleted for a lot of it. And this year good he does squad, not have that. He does not have that excuse.
Good squad, hot seat, Nick Cushing. I predict Red Bulls go to Nashville, win 3-2.
Really? In Nashville? All right.
Yeah, Emil Forsberg gets a goal and assisted. Maybe Dante Van Zier finally gets a goal. And maybe Wiki Carmona with a goal.
3-2. All right. Great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. All right. We will talk about it next Monday. All right, everybody. Sounds good. Oh, yeah. I'm the music boy now. We will talk about it Monday.
Next week.
Be sure to check me out on TikTok, on the Soccer Guy, and check us out.